Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Our God. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He always thinks of all things. Everything the Lord does is well done. And as I relate to Him and talk to Him and learn from Him, it's always good. It's more than motivating. It's a blessing. It answers questions and solves all forms of doubts. Daniel said that those that would overcome, those who live the light in dark, even though they're in the darkest times, Daniel said it this way. He said, those that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. This means that when people are seeing fearful sights and being chased out of town by the Antichrist, there will be people that will be strong and do exploits. They will do the miracles. They will do the things of God. Anyway, even though there's chaos and confusion, and they won't be afraid. Some people will even laugh at the devil's best or worst attacks, because when you're in God, when you're with Him, you don't see things the same way. You don't have a fear. You're not looking at it in a surrendered way. You always have the mastery. Living in God's presence, it's like you're immune to the world. And you can pray and protect your life. You can protect the lives of others. If you know Him, knowing Him is the key. Because I remember when I used to be afraid. I remember how it was when I didn't know God. I remember when I had to fight my own battles, or I thought I did. I remember how it was before I learned to live in His strength. Whatever you do, if you do it in God, in His strength, you're in faith. Satan can't get, he can't make you bow down. You don't surrender. You don't compromise. You don't have to. You don't feel like there's no way out. Not when you look to the Lord and He give you wisdom. When you're emotionally unbalanced, too frustrated, or things look real dim and look like you can't get ahead, and you fight to, you work yourself trying to do it in your strength. Now, doing things in God's strength is not a cliche. That's not a cop-out cliche. It's not just religious talk that's over with. You don't need that. But what I'm saying is, when you do things in God's strength, it is real. And you have to be, if you can be at peace, you can do it. If you can be settled with the last thing God said do, and do it relentlessly, you can live in His strength. Now, my first enemy salvation is living in His strength. That's the first time I ever felt peace. I felt like a brand new man the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Savior on purpose. This was not somebody telling me I need to do it. This was my choice. I made a choice. I'm going to do this. And Satan said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. And I thought he was telling the truth. I didn't know. I said, well, I don't care. This is right. Jesus paid for my salvation. And I want to live like Him. And I endeavored to do everything He said do. Because I wanted to be, if I gave Him my life, I can't just do it in words. It's got to be true. And when you do that, now you're living in history. So I did all right. You know, most people do okay till something happens. Well, one day something happened. A guy got on my nerves. I was ready to fight him. Because that's what I would do. If somebody bothered me, I'd fight. I learned to fight growing up. It was like a reflex. But I hadn't acted that way in years. Here it is, 1987. This guy was aggravating me, so I was ready to fight. And at my weakest moment, the Lord said, everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And I had unconditional love. By God, it wasn't my strength. He gave it to me by saying, everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does you good or evil. And it settled my heart. I had strength. Then I could think and reason. Now, that's when you're able to live in his strength. You have the strength. The spirit of might comes on you. And then, with the love of God, when the Holy Spirit activates in those seven manifestations, you can attach to it. Without the love of God, you can't attach to it. Even the fear of God won't work if there's no love in you. If there's no love in you, then the spirit, the fear of the Lord won't work. There's nothing for it to attach to. You won't care. That's why it's good to not let yourself be angry or frustrated or doubtful against God or think that God is behind your trouble, and he's not. God don't do that. Satan does that. Satan is the one behind our trouble. Kenneth Copeland helped me with that. He said, when things go wrong, God is not wrong. He will not do you wrong. He said, God is not wrong. And he don't. God is holy. He don't do stuff like that. And when he order your steps, it's to keep you from getting killed. It's to keep you out of a measure of a greater harm when he order your steps. Or protect you to do something that you should be doing. And he can open and close doors. He's God. And we are his, not just his children, we're his creation. And he has a right to order our steps. But ordering the steps won't work if you continue to be rebellious. You might be rebellious today, but in the future, he can see you getting saved. He'll protect your life till you get there. Even Satan suspected some people would get saved. He tried to get them to do crimes or kill somebody or do something that would mar their life to get them out of his way. You know, I learned a lot about, you know, from fighting Satan. I learned a lot about spiritual warfare as I endeavored to do God's will. So as you go forward doing things in his strength, you're settled. You didn't originate it. If you originated the scheme that you're trying to pull off, that's your strength. Now, you can have plans and do it in God's strength. I'm not saying you can't, but I am saying that when you do things in the Lord's strength, he's going to always have you do something that's beyond your level of intelligence. And it'll be so pure. It'll be so wonderful. It'll be so good that it'll surprise you. It's amazing. And I like amazing. I like doing things God's way. I like learning and going forward. I like growing. Because as I grow, it makes it easier for me to do things in the strength of the Lord. And it's harder for me to fall. And then I use those Charles Capps confessions. I say Charles Capps confessions because that's who I learned it from. He taught us how to talk faith and shape our lives. See, confessions that on the way that the way that Charles Capps taught it, it's like sculpture. If you're sculpting something, you chisel away everything that don't look like what you want it to look like. You get a chance to sculpture your life in God's will. You get a chance to bring heaven on earth in your life. You get a chance to put your foot over hell, on hell, to destroy the world, to keep darkness under your foot. With your words of confession. And it gets in your attitude. It gets into you. It gives you determination. If you don't feel determination, say, I am determined to finish God's work. And keep saying it. It'll get in your heart. And when it becomes faith in your heart, mountains start moving. The things, obstacles start diminishing. And people that try to get you off board, their words are toned down and God's word voice is louder. And the wrong things stop being important and the right things become the most important thing. Because you're aligning yourself to the Lord. And then you're able to live in His strength. And see, as you know Him, He's going to always be God. So whatever the reason that I'm telling you this is because of what happened to me. Something's going to happen to you and you're going to know Him and you're going to be able to do the same thing and live in His strength. And when you see satanic activity, you're going to shut it down. You'll speak against it. Satan has to obey you. You can't forget that. The reason people are the Antichrist is going to eat people's lunches because they don't know who they are in Christ. And the reason he's going to cut Christian's head off is because to keep them from coming to a point that they know God. That's what Satan is. Whenever you see Satan killing people, he's afraid of something. When he killed all the babies, he was afraid of Moses. He thought Moses was going to be the seed of the woman. You know, he's not perfect. He didn't know. He tried to pump himself up to look like he know, but he can't figure out the things of God. And even though he saw God's face once, he can't figure him out. Then Herod had the babies killed, had the children too and under killed because Satan was afraid of Christ. Herod was afraid of losing his position. And Satan was afraid of the seed of woman. Well, guess what? The seed of woman can't be killed. There's no sin in it. He can't stop the light. So now his prime objective is to shut it down, to keep us, to make the church look like the world. And he studied mankind. People look to the pastors and their leaders. If you look to the pastor, you're wrong. You got to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's scriptural. Now, we listen to our pastors. I listen to mine. I'm so thankful for my pastor because the Lord has confirmed many things, thousands of things through him. And he is a blessing. But if I look to him, I'm short-sighted. If I look to Jesus, I stay in the flow of living in the strength of God. And that's just how you have to do it. There's no disrespect if you're looking to Jesus and not your pastor. But you hear your pastor. When the pastor speaks, preaching the word, that's Jesus talking to you now. See, that's the difference. If you say, oh, that's just the pastor. No, that's just Jesus. God gave him the message. He's yielding. And he's cooperating. Now you're able to get on board because you're not looking to the man. You're looking to the Lord. Well, what if the pastor say something wrong? If you look into the Lord, you'll detect it faster than if you just look into the pastor himself. And that's why people don't grow. They're looking to the pastor himself without looking to the Lord who sent him. And they can't grow. They're not, they say, oh, I don't have to listen to that. That's just the pastor. That's just a man. If it's just a man and you treat God's word like it's just another man, then you're not growing. And not just a pastor. Anybody that's preaching and speaking on God's behalf, the words of God are detectable. You can believe it because it's detectable. You know it's right. Adam did eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can tell good from evil. And we can be corrected. We can receive truth. Or you can reject truth. But if you're receiving it and keeping it, now you're growing and you're going to learn to live in the strength. But if you, and the way you do this the best is your focus. If you're focused on the Lord, if you're filling your heart with the words of God, you're going to have the strength to retain and receive the words of God. You'll have strength to retain and receive. You retain what you already have heard, things that you've heard, and you receive new life, new understanding. And what you've retained is helping you receive. And what you receive today will help you retain what you receive tomorrow. If you appreciate what God is saying, you're on board. You're a candidate for living in God's strength. And when an emergency happens, your automatic reflex won't be to handle it your way. It will be to handle it God's way. You'll yield to the Lord, and the Lord will give you his wisdom, and you'll speak. Jesus said, when you're in the courts, don't talk. Don't say anything. It will be given to you what you should say. I got frustrated because I was listening to Dave on, you know, Irvin Baxter's grandson. He talked about a governor who tried to pass a law that you have to lay down your religious convictions and serve lesbians and gay people. It's like the man, they wanted him to make a cake, and he wouldn't do it because of his convictions. Then they sued him. They took it to court. Of course, threw it out, but they tried to make a law that you got to serve everybody, no matter what your convictions are. And that's crazy, and I thought about myself, what if I was in that same situation? And I imagine myself being in the courtroom, and I got, you know, I felt like Jesus. I wanted to turn, just like he did, he turned those tables over. I thought of things that I would have said of myself in that courtroom. And it bothered me. I said, well, Lord, I'm aggravated. I don't like being aggravated. I said, I need you to, I said, how would I handle such a situation? And the same people that I had imagined, the Lord used what I had imagined and showed me how I should handle it. And it was peace. I was settled. I wasn't frustrated anymore. I wasn't, you know, the zeal of the Lord, Jesus said, the zeal of the Lord has eaten me up. He was filled with the zeal of the Lord. And he turned those money tables over and chased those people. He braided a whip and beat their behind out of there. And sometimes you want to do something like that. But that's not always the thing to do. Isaiah called fire down from heaven. He said, if I'm a man of God, let fire burn up you and your 50. And, you know, 51 men are up in smoke. Happened twice. The third time, the man begged him to let him live. And then he went with him. So that was perfect for them. What Jesus did was perfect for them. Now, what's perfect for you, it will be given because we don't know. This is the power of living in the Lord's strength. It's very necessary. If you live in his strength, you're not you're not going to make a mess. You're going to do it right. If you live in his strength, it's going to be right. If you live in your strength, it's going to be terrible. If you live in his strength, it's going to be perfect, and you're going to get to know him. I don't know another way to get to know God. Reading and trusting his word is the first step. But see, now when it's down to you, can you listen to the Lord? Can you yield to him? Can you do what he said do? Even if you look like a fool for doing it. See, when you have his peace, you got something to go on. And Satan's gonna throw his worst at you, but you're going to overcome it. Every time, and it's not hard. The love of God in you will help you do it. You have to love God. You have to trust God. That's why trust is so important. Even if you're skilled at living by faith, when it gets down to, some people have never had to, they have never been in a pinch where it was all on them. Eventually it's going to happen. There's going to be some kind of attack or some kind of difficulty, and it's going to take the wisdom of God to come out of it without a lot of casualties. Now, Henry Groover said, when you fight spiritually, if you keep the fight supernatural, there'll be no casualties. But if you start speaking out of anger, then that you're going to create casualties. Sometimes people in a heated, frustrated moment, they say something that's a bitter taste to their spouse, and the relationship never recovers because the wound they cut, they spoke something that hurt their spouse, and they may never recover from it. You know, that spouse may remember that for the rest of their time. But when you follow God, there'll be no casualties. A misunderstanding can divide good relationships. And when you yield to the Lord, you can repair broken relationships. Or your chances of repairing broken relationships is far greater. The healing of salvation continues as we yield to the Lord. That's just the way it is. But nevertheless, when you know God, see, the Lord can always show you what the path to take. Just like Paul in the courtroom, he appealed to Caesar. That was the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. If they would have let him loose, the mobs of Israel would have been out there to kill him. When he appealed to Caesar, he had safe travel. The soldiers were going to see to it that he got there. Well, nobody going to bother those soldiers. See, you got to follow the path of you got to live in God's strength. Well, he almost got drowned in that shipwreck, yeah. But he was spared. He told them that the ship was going to get towed up before they went. They were hard-headed. The ship was towed up after they left. But they made it to Malta, people, and that was a revival. That not just a revival, but that was an outpouring, because people got saved. When the man got healed of a bloody flux and Paul didn't die from the serpent bite, they got saved. They started getting saved. He started a whole new group of Christians on his way to jail. That's the power of living in God's strength. Not only that, the people on the ship, they probably got saved and did works themselves. I would have. If a man like Paul came around doing miracles like that, I would want in on it. Most people in their right mind would. Rebellious people don't ever get it. So they'll be lost no matter what happens. But those that love God will. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue right through the end and throughout your life. Next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is your Lord.